Steve Gruber, because you're entitled to his opinion. Here's Steve.
Welcome back to it on a Thursday. Yeah, welcome back to it on a Thursday. I'm not going to be ignored. You have no idea. Doherty's intensity level is a place that most people don't ever arrive in their lifetimes. You know, Michael Doherty being ignored by his attorney, I can only imagine, man. When he finally got a hold of the guy, he was like peeling paint when his skin came off. No question about that. Let's see here. The president stopped and took some questions yesterday on his way to Marine One before he headed off to Ohio, I believe it was. And for a guy who people say is not accessible, man, does anyone spend more time with the press than Donald Trump? Has any president ever made themselves more available? But he does that so he can pound home his message. He also said he wants the Mueller report to be made public. But his message, you know, is out there all the time, nearly unfiltered. Let's go to bite number two, talking about the Mueller report and looking forward to seeing it. Bite two, go.
You know better than anybody, there's no collusion. There was no collusion. There was no obstruction. There was no nothing. But it's sort of an amazing thing that when you have a great victory, somebody comes in, does a report out of nowhere. Tell me how that makes sense. Who never got a vote. Who the day before he was retained to become special counsel, I told him he wouldn't be working at the FBI. And then the following day they get him for this? I don't think so. I don't think people get it. With all of that being said, I look forward to seeing the report.
I look forward to seeing the report. So do I. So does everybody. We look forward to seeing the report. And now with John Solomon's reporting, I wonder what the reports are going to look like out of the Ukraine, out of Kiev, and the U.S. embassy there. By the way, the president is, you know, obviously a propensity for Twitter and social media, has millions of followers on all platforms, tens of millions. He's got like 60 million followers on Twitter. You know, and you've got actually people that troll him. I mean, what is the point? I see these people that do these rants when he says something and they're 8 and 10 and 15 posts long, whatever, like he really sits and reads that crap. Man, get a life, get a hobby. But when asked about his love affair with Twitter, it's just as I described 5 years ago. It's the way for him to get his message directly to the voters without any filter in between. The same thing that FDR did using the brand new technology of his age, the radio. Didn't have to put it through a reporter, talk directly to the American people. Bite four. Go.
I think that Twitter is a way that I get out the word when we have a corrupt media, and it is corrupt and it's fake. So Twitter is a way that I can get out the word because our media is so dishonest, a lot of it, the mainstream, a lot of it. They don't report the facts. They don't report, as an example that I just showed you, they don't want to report this, so I figure I might as well show it. So when I do Twitter statements, I get out the word from a fake and corrupt media.
What he had, by the way, he had a map in his hand, if you missed that. He came out on his way to Marine One, and he stopped to talk to the reporter. And it's kind of interesting, if you watch the way he does this, he kind of stalks back and forth, and he looks at the crowd, and everybody's yelling questions. He looks, and then he'll hear a question that he likes, and he'll focus in on it. He'll zero in, and he'll select that reporter. But he'll go back and forth, and you can hear people talking, Mr. President, Mr. President, Mr. President. Boom, and he'll take the question that he wants. So he controls the interview. And whether you like him or not, he's a master at controlling that interview and as to how he goes to what question so he can answer the question he wants. But he had a map in his hand, and the map was of territory held by ISIS the day he was inaugurated and became president, and the territory controlled by ISIS today, which is virtually zero. And remember that the previous administration, Barack Obama, told us this was a generational problem, a generational challenge. Clearly not true. This president, working with the military and letting the military do their job, has swatted ISIS into oblivion, destroyed them, killed them, frankly. Meanwhile, on the Democratic campaign trail, Beto O'Rourke, Robert O'Rourke says he supports health care for everyone in this country. Well, not, wait a second. Maybe not everyone. Answering a question from a college kid, he said he does not support mandating medical treatment for babies that actually survive abortion attempts. Listen to this. The kid lays it out well, and this is how it gets answered by Beto O'Rourke. Bite number five. Go.
I wanted to ask you about a recent bill that just went through the Senate about 2 weeks ago, and the bill was that if an abortion was performed on a viable fetus and the fetus survived the abortion, the doctor would then be compelled to give that living baby the same care as any other pregnancy baby that came out and put that baby through the care. Would you support this bill that does not in any way limit abortion and simply seeks to keep babies alive that have been born alive?
Thank you for the question. The way that I would approach your question and this issue generally is to trust women to make their own decisions about their own bodies. When we talk about universal guarantee, high quality health care for everyone in this country, it's
universal health care for everyone. Trust women to make decisions about their own body. This is a gentleman who laid out the question. This is after the baby is born. This is a child that actually survived an abortion attempt and lived. It's no longer the woman's body. I don't care what your measure is or what your yardstick is. The child has been born alive, and women trust women to make decisions about their own bodies. That doesn't even pass the logic test. Of course, what does anymore around here? This is the butcher, Beto O'Rourke, chiming in that he too supports and encourages infanticide. He's all for infanticide, killing children. Now, there's just simply no other way to look at it. And it's sad, and it's gut-wrenching. It is the issue that will sink the Democrat Party. 52 after on the Steve Gerber Show.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.